And the reason will come for us all.
Hey, Samantha, where can they find us on the social medias?
I'm so glad you asked. They can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Reaper Tales Podcast and on TikTok at reaper.tales.podc.
Nailed it.
Just PODC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can email us at reapergals@reapertales.com. I'm always looking at it. So if you're one of the ones that emails me on a regular basis, you know that. I do respond almost in real time. Unless like
almost.
I'm on vacation or like I'm bed rotting, but that's a different thing. So email us at reapergals@reapertales.com. Email me to tell me that I look pretty. Email me to tell me I'm doing a good job and to send us your show suggestions and anything else that you want us to cover or anything like that. So yeah.
And please remember to like, rate, review, subscribe, all the things you lovely listeners know what to do anyway. On any of the listening platforms that you use, as per usual, you get bonus points if you do it on platforms you don't listen to us on, but you give us a nice little review. And worded reviews will get special shout outs. So if you are so inclined to do so, please do us a favor. Makes it a little easier for people to find us. You know, even if it's people you don't like and you don't like us, it doesn't hurt. Go ahead. Why not?
Yeah,
it still works.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to be listed out, by the way, on the worded reviews, it's too bad. We're still going to give you a shout out.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if even if you say we smell like boogers or something like that. Okay, thanks.
Rude.
Hello. I'm Montana.
And I'm Samantha.
And you're listening to
Reaper Tales.
And today, we're bringing you our 100th episode, and that's Bigfoot, baby.
Of course, you dressed appropriately.
Yeah, I had to. It was my only Bigfoot shirt. Council's old boss at his job, he ran one of the, or I think he still does, he runs a Bigfoot like site, Facebook group, all of that stuff out of Asheville. So that was this. Yeah.
Big old foot.
Anyway,
it's finally time. We're finally going to talk about it.
So before we get started,
Montana,
I guess, what are we drinking?
What did you find for us?
It's kind of fitting. We didn't prepare for this. We were supposed to record a few days ago, so this is kind of like last minute, and it was my fault. You know, ADHD is going to ADHD, my friends, and it can be bad. But
you can blame it on the ADHD or you can blame it on your dog.
Well, I don't want to blame it on him. He has no teeth anymore. So
if my husband was smacking next to me because he'd had teeth pulled, I still would have blamed it on him.
For over 24 hours. For over 24 hours. I can't do that.
I get it. It probably feels really crummy for him, but you can still blame him because that was a lot.
I do.
Every other Snapchat video. Mm-hmm. All day long.
And it was constant. It was constant. And
awesome.
I was just like, I
poor baby,
want to yeet him into the sun right now. But I didn't. I made it through. I only cried.
You did, and you're stronger for it.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that.
You're almost
okay.
There.
Almost there. So I'm saying that this is fitting because it's called the Sasquatch, and the main alcohol in it is a rye bourbon from Doc Crow's, which is in Louisville, which I just got back from, and we ate at Doc Crow's. So, yay.
That was going to be my next question. Did you actually go?
We did. It was the first stop that we made when we got there.
Oh, so cool.
Food was really good. So it's going to be 1 ounce of Rittenhouse rye, 1 ounce of Lard's Applejack brandy, and you can substitute whatever you want in this. It doesn't have to be the exact same thing. And that's not what we're drinking. Again, I think we're all drinking Truly's. Are we?
No.
Oh my God. Is it the favorite?
No.
Oh, okay. Close.
Close. Yes. I have a Truly in there, which is unfortunate. I'll have to get one for the Q&A.
Q&A, yeah. So it's 1 ounce of Rittenhouse Rye, 1 ounce of Lard's Applejack Brandy, 3 droppers Barkeep brand apple spice bitters, 1/2 ounce of smoked brown sugar syrup. You're going to serve this drink with a cinnamon stick over a large cube of ice, or garnish with a fresh or dried slice of apple. You just combine it all together. Boom. There you go. Sasquatch.
I feel like it's fitting considering all of the ingredients. I feel like it probably tastes just like I would imagine.
Yeah. I bet it tastes good. Sounds good. I could probably make it now.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right. So
you're up.
We're going to talk about Bigfoot. I'm up first. Yeah.
Because obviously it's a Bigfoot episode and you're going to go first.
Yeah. And, you know.
Need a nap first?
No, I slept 12 hours last night. I'm doing great. Living great. I'm going to be a little bit more like talking about the history, but I also have like 3 different accounts or like lore stories, something about the Bigfoot in North Carolina. So we're just going to get into it. And I said it right here. We talked about it before we got on here, but it's going to be hard to cover in just one episode. So I think we have plans to do more in the future.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If you guys like this, I mean, you tell us.
Nobody likes it. Not a single soul.
You're going to do it anyway because you're going to want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I just like to hear myself talk.
About Bigfoot.
About Bigfoot. Before I jump in, though, I want to kind of talk about like the culture and history of Bigfoot. While nowadays it's mostly non-Indigenous people who go out hunting and investigating Bigfoot, and the sightings and lore have really like been hyped up by them, Bigfoot goes back farther than colonialism. The Indigenous people have stories and legends about Bigfoot that go back generations. Well, we're going to focus on the North Carolina part of Bigfoot when I talk about like my firsthand accounts and those stories. I think it's important to know where it really started. And that's actually all the way on the other side of the country in Oregon and the West Coast of North America, mainly in Oregon and like central and northern California is where it truly originated. Bigfoot's other name is Sasquatch, and it originated with the First Nations peoples. The original name of it was Sasquet or Sasquets. In the First Nations language, I cannot say this. Halkwi Emalim? Nailed it.
Close enough.
Sorry if I got that wrong.
Why do I, when you were saying that, all I could think of was Saskatchewan. Isn't that a city?
It is a city.
It sounds so close to it. Maybe it has some kind of origin there.
Well, it's spelled like, it's almost spelled like Sasquatch. But it's Sasquets.
Oh, yeah, Sasquatch. It's really close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really close to Sasquatch. Tribes in coastal Oregon related Bigfoot to ancient tales of wild men who lurked near villages and left immense tracks, as described in Clara Pearson's tales from the Nehalem Tillamook. Members of the Plateau tribes, such as those at the Warm Springs Reservation, identified Bigfoot as a, quote, stick Indian, unquote.
What area was this again? Around Oregon?
Yeah, this is around Oregon.
Okay.
And it was the Plateau tribes. And the Warm Springs Reservation, yeah. A diverse category of potentially hostile beings who stole salmon or confused people by whistling, causing them to become lost. So they would just like walk around and whistle and make people like lost, which great trick.
Yeah, I was going to say that I wouldn't mind having that talent, but yeah. I can only do that to myself. So,
True. I'm so glad I can like pull up where my car is now in like a parking deck on my phone.
Let's not talk about the time that I got lost in downtown Birmingham on the day, first day of my job as a teller manager before you were even.
Oh, God.
Thing. Yeah. No. GPS has saved my life.
Same. Bluetooth. Being able to connect your phone to your car.
Mm-hmm.
100%. I copied the next bit directly from Wikipedia because it's referring to a quote tribe unquote in Central California. But when I went to look at the tribe, like I looked up to ensure I was getting like the right names of things, it said that the name given in this article for the tribe is actually an ethnic group of up to 60 tribes, and that some tribes in that group do not like being referred to as that since it was a name given to them by settlers. So just keep that in mind as I say this. If I knew exactly what the tribe was, I would call them by that, but that's why I'm quoting directly from this. According to the Tulare County Board of Education in 1975, quote, Bigfoot, the hairy man, was a creature that was like a great big giant with long shaggy hair. His long shaggy hair made him look like a big animal. He was good in a way because he ate the animals that might harm people, unquote. And Yokut's parents warned, Yokut's is the tribe that I was referring to, or the tribe, quote unquote, but it's actually just an ethnic group of tribes. The Yokut's parents warned their children not to venture near the river at night or they may encounter the creature. So why I'm telling you all of this, other than, you know, like letting you know where the origin of like the North American Sasquatch Bigfoot really came from is I think it's going to help you understand like my reasoning behind what I believe when it comes to Bigfoot. If you've been with us for a while, you know, I do indeed believe that there was, and there might still be a Bigfoot around. The stories of Bigfoot told in tribes weren't just like for entertainment. It isn't like what it is today where people get in groups, they go out, they have a good time, they're searching for Bigfoot. Like it's not like for entertainment purposes. It was used as like a cautionary tale to ensure that their family members and their friends and their community wouldn't be harmed by this creature and to stay away. And like I'm going to believe that 10 times more than I'm going to believe some grainy picture or blurry picture of a Bigfoot. It is 2015. Why are they all still blurry? Explain it.
Do your own detective work there.
I know. I have. I know why they are, but it's just like, oh my God. No, but yeah, I mean, a lot of people are going to hear that I say I believe in Bigfoot, and they're going to be like, she's crazy. No.
I'm sorry. Not. Are you new here?
Well, I'm not crazy for that reason. You know, I believe that there was a Bigfoot. I believe that there might still be a Bigfoot. I highly doubt that there is still a Bigfoot, though, because we would have killed it out by now. Like, it would be extinct. Let's get real here. But there might be. And if there is, it is probably near me in the Appalachian.
Let me just tell you, if it was seen down here in good old Bama, where everybody has guns in their car, I don't think it would have made it.
No joke. Now that I've got all that out of the way, you know, feel free to go look into the history yourselves. There's a lot more than that. I summarized what I thought was important to get my point across. So I'm going to go into firsthand accounts, but there have been over 100 sightings, documented sightings, of Bigfoot or the Sasquatch in North Carolina alone. But I sent this website to Samantha earlier. There is a website where you can get, and I'm putting it in the show notes so everybody can do it from your own state. There is a website out there that is called BFRO.net. And it is the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. And you can go there, you can select your state, and it will display a list of counties and tell you how many sightings have been in each county and when the most recent report came in. And if you click on the county, you can get to a list of the days the reports came in, and then click on those and get more detail. And it will also tell you like what level of report it is. It's like A, B, or C. And A is like a firsthand account. A B is like, I'm not sure what I saw. And then a C is a secondhand account of somebody else's.
It's really fascinating to look up your love state it. And you can see all the different counties, and it gets very nuanced. And the ones I saw, they were verified by somebody like a reporter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool. So in North Carolina, the county that has the most sightings are Montgomery County, and they have 15 sightings. Yeah. Mecklenburg County has none. Literally none. But like all the surrounding counties.
You moved around the wrong county.
Well, I'm not Mecklenburg.
Okay.
But I'm very close. It's the closest thing like people will be able to reckon. Well, I'm Gaston County, Gastonia. The location of our first ever podcast episode. Right. Uh-huh. Crazy. I'm going to do mine a bit different than what Samantha's going to do. Because when it comes to Bigfoot in North Carolina, again, there's a lot of stories and lore that surround it. So first I want to tell you about Knobby. And that's K-N-O-B-B-Y. Sightings of Knobby started around late December 1978 and 1979. So like the winter months in Cleveland County, North Carolina, which is like a little over an hour away from us where I am right now. Minnie Cook, she was 88 at that time, became the first person to go public with her sighting. She had seen the black hairy creature near her house. Minnie was so terrified, she refused to leave her house without her trusty rifle in hand after that. She is 88.
But also fair.
Well, Minnie's was the first reported sighting. It would not be the last in the area. Over the next few months, Knobby would be spotted at least 16 times. In late December, a Caesar resident, which is Cleveland County, the town is actually Caesar. And looking it up, Caesar has like, I think, 300 people that live in it. It's like a tiny town. 300 based on like some of the articles that I was seeing, around 300. Sammy Price was, and that was recent. This is back in the 70s. Sammy Price was working in his yard when he heard a high-pitched scream. Looking up, he saw a 6-foot, 7-inch tall tree start walking away. So I guess he's one of those that didn't get like a good look. He's like, I don't know. Is it a bear? Is it
a
dog?
He has a grainy picture somewhere.
Yeah. Well, it was the 70s. They were all grainy.
Kelsey, when were cameras invented again?
Kelsey, when were... did people have cameras in the 70s? Kay Price, Sammy's wife, claimed that the next day she heard screams and saw Knobby eating soybeans in the nearby fields. He's trying to get his macros in, okay? He's trying to be vegetarian. He's trying to be environmentally friendly. Let's give it to Knobby. Sammy and his wife reported seeing the creature for several nights and hearing its screams.
I'm about to say, what do the screams sound like? Is it like, what does the fox say? I mean, do they describe
it? Well, it's a good question because I didn't actually put it in here, but a lot of people say that it's specifically in this area, the screams of Knobby sound like a whale. They sound pained, like he's suffering.
Okay, because some of the reports I read said the same thing here.
And they say it's really upsetting and like they feel really bad for him. Don't know what's wrong with him. So Sammy's brother explained that a few days earlier, something had frightened his animals, scaring his donkey so badly it broke loose and ran away. which, like, that's just a donkey. I've never met, like, a good donkey. They're all either mean or, like, they don't want anything to do with you.
Hey, they're really good at protecting the livestock behind the gate. That's their main purpose.
Good on them.
I wouldn't want to come up to a donkey and mess with it. I'm just going to be perfectly honest. Those things are mean.
True. I think I'd want Tugger to protect me more than a donkey, though. So, anyways, he also found his goat dead with a broken neck. He blamed Nobby, which I feel like is hearsay.
So, wait a second. Vegetarian or not, earlier eating soybeans, now just, like, breaking animals' necks.
Yeah, and if he's, like, why would he break the neck of a goat and then, like, not eat it? Sir, I think you're lying. You're being inflammatory. Let's not do that to Nobby, okay? While investigating in the area, an animal den and tracks were found about 2 miles from the Price homes. Searchers said the tracks were as large as a man's hand and had a thumb-like protrusion. And they found, like, long hairs on logs nearby and stuff like that. Yeah, so I guess they're saying he went through there. I would just think, like, I don't know, somebody who's really hairy came through here. On January 15th, 1979, Mistress Kay Price, Gay Smith, age 18, and Wanda Smith were driving down Highway 10 between Caesar and Polkville. Wanda suddenly screamed, but at first could not tell the others what she had seen. She was so frightened. Finally, when she got the words out, they turned around and drove back. This time, all three of the women saw Nobby. He was near some woods by a farm pond. Gay got out of her car and, like, first off, no, it was Wanda who screamed. I was like, okay, why are you going after them? Anyways, Gay got out of the car and started to run towards Nobby, who was squatting on a dam. When she got around 150 feet away, he stood up, faced her, and stretched out his arms. As it was a sunny day, she got a good look at him. He was over 6'2", which his height varies so much. It makes me wonder if it's like multiples, you know, like a family. I don't know.
Yeah, there were a lot of different variations of the heights and sizes in the ones that I read too.
Yeah. She said that it was over 200 pounds, rude, and strange looking. Again, rude.
That I find more rude than the
weight. Well, how do you guess somebody's weight? That's rude.
I always wonder that.
I know.
Honestly, anytime there's ever a description, I wonder, how did you look at somebody, guess their height, number one, because I can't do that, and then their weight?
Yeah. Don't know. Couldn't tell you. Don't know your height. Don't know your height.
You just know it's taller than you.
You're taller than me, which is everybody.
Which doesn't narrow it down.
Yeah.
Can you imagine you see Bigfoot and you're like, taller than me? And they're like, can you give us a little bit more?
How about a range? We're going to stay in a bunch of taller people next season.
We're going to do this. Tell us when to stop.
Yeah, tell us when to stop. It's like the Parmesan cheese. I just never stop. She also said that he was, quote, pink faced, unquote, and that he did an acid pill that day. Okay, Gay, calm down. And that his facial hair was shorter than the hair on the rest of his body. He was broad chested and had wide shoulders. She noticed that he had wide nostrils and a shiny black chest, describing the rest of his hair as a black and brown mix. They all thought he looked more gorilla-like than human. On the ground next to him was something white or light-colored, perhaps an empty sack or a paper bag. In late spring of 1979, South Mountain, a fisherman saw a black shape, which is right there, saw a black shape running into the undergrowth. The next day, he saw it again and fired a shot at it.
Are you sure this wasn't in Alabama?
Well, it's... No. It's...
That's what we started doing with the Chocolaca monster, and we all know how that went.
It's the Appalachians. So I'm surprised it took up until this point for it to happen. But also, how the heck does she, like, make all of those, like, observations? Because I don't, well, Samantha, could you? You're normal.
Debatable, but okay, let's go with that.
No.
Are you asking, could I do that?
Yeah, like how tall, height, weight, appearance, like that detailed of appearance?
Well, they say that when you were like really in a like life or death situation, like time slows down for you and you notice things that you wouldn't normally notice. So maybe that happened. But in general, no, I'm not good at giving descriptions of people or animals, to be perfectly frank, unless I actually know what it is. So no.
Yeah.
Don't rely on me to give you a good accurate representation of Bigfoot if I come across them. Sorry.
I would have just been like, oh, puppy.
Also, that was a lot, like the difference in the hair color and the face.
It was really detailed.
The length of the hair, and it was pink as if he had done an acid pill, apparently. It was a lot. I mean, I'm still shocked at the knowing the height and the weight thing. That still blows me away. But all the other stuff, too.
And from 150 feet away, like that seems far. That's too far to make that much distinction out of it. Also, I'm sorry.
Also, did she know it was 150 feet or was that provided to her?
Exactly.
I don't know that either.
Did she know it? Or is that another guesstimation? What if she's just like way off the mark on all of it? It was like 4 feet in front of her.
Look, I do not pretend to know the distance between me and something else. I'm much like our neighbor who came over to hunt Easter eggs with Sophia, and Paul was standing in the middle of the yard. He's like, there is an Easter egg literally 2 feet from me. And she was like 10 feet away from him looking. And he goes, that is not 2 feet. And she said, what's 2 feet? And he goes, the length of my arm. She's like, oh.
She's sweet, though. She's sweet.
That's me. I don't. 2 feet, 2, 10. I don't know. Same thing.
Same. Oh,
150 feet. No, there's no way I would know how far away that is.
I don't know. It was like bigger than this.
Basically.
Yikes.
Long hair. Define long hair.
My favorite one is.
We had that debate earlier last week.
My favorite one was.
When it came to hair.
Was it like the distance of a football field? I don't know. Maybe.
I've never run a football field. You tell me.
Have you ever? Maybe. There's so many sightings of him around this time. I don't have time to go over all of them. It's pretty heavily debated in this area if there was really a Bigfoot or if it was something else. And there's like back and forth of like experts and things like that talking about like, oh, no, we think it was a mountain lion. Oh, no. All of that's boring. We don't care about that.
I feel like comparing it to a mountain lion is a pretty big
very different things.
I feel like you would know the difference between those two descriptions.
And some people are like, no, it's a bear. And then other people are like, well, a bear and a mountain lion don't sound like that. So can you explain that? They can. Anyway, over the years, Nobby's hype would die down, but not before a movie was made in his likeness. By June of 2010, he was no longer really being talked about around Cleveland County. That is until our boy, Tim Peeler, calls 911 in the summer of 2010. I'm going to read directly from this article from WBTV. But Tim Peeler is a character. He's a hoot. I'll have links in the show notes that people can go and look him up. He's great. He's on Twitter. X, whatever that is. Tim Peeler called 911 emergency line around 3 a.m. and reported a large beast-like creature messing with my dogs. Quote, he come right by me and walked right back out the path, that path, Wheeler said, pointing to a small path leading into a densely wooded area around his house. In the 911 call, Peeler calmly describes the Sasquatch as looking like a giant ape with a man's face. The dispatcher sent a Cleveland County deputy to investigate the sighting, but the deputy didn't find the Sasquatch. Cleveland County 911 Director Mike Branch says dispatchers take every call that comes in to 911 center seriously, even Sasquatch sightings. But when it comes to rules about dealing with Sasquatch sightings, there aren't any set guidelines. Quote, "We do not have a specific policy in regards to Sasquatches," unquote, says Branch. So the dispatcher just had to wing the call. Peeler says he didn't have time to grab his camera and snap a picture. He says next time he'll be ready. And he says there will be a next time. Peeler was a hit. He ended up being interviewed by CNN and MSNBC. They all ran the story. Jimmy Fallon joked about it on his late night talk show. And thousands of people viewed the Shelby Star newspaper's YouTube video of a self-proclaimed mountain man shaking his stick to demonstrate how he scared the creature away. And he is on YouTube, and you can go and look at it. He's a hoot.
My question is, do they now have a protocol for Sasquatch sightings?
I think they do. They might, but they do have...
They should.
They do have... There is a grocer in that area, and now they sell merchandise for I get it Nobby or whatever, a whole bunch of stuff. It's cute. It's real cute. The residents of the small town in Cleveland County are fond of Nobby and do not call him Bigfoot. I guess it's a slur to them. It also instructs visitors on the town's website to not poke Nobby with a stick and be nice to him if they come across him. Because that's how,
you know, I know that some people's response to weird things is to poke it with a stick, but typically they're dead.
Well, that's how Tim got him off his property. He poked him with a big stick.
I wouldn't be poking no Bigfoot.
And said, get out of here. Which is funny. Also, well, I mean, in North Carolina, they had to put out I think it was in Greensboro somewhere. After another report came out, basically saying, hey, if you see a Bigfoot, don't shoot it, please. Yeah, literally had to come out and say that. I didn't put that in here, but I came across it and I was like, who the fuck's going around trying to shoot a Bigfoot?
Obviously some people.
Now on to a more serious sighting with video evidence and an unlikely savior. Eric Walters from Boone County, North Carolina, was renting a cabin near Asheville, North Carolina, in August of 2015. On the morning of Thursday, August 6, 2015, Eric decided to take a walk with his Yorkie named Zippy. Quote, "Our neighbors told us there was some bear activity and to be cautious," he said. "So when I walk the trails, I've kept my Yorkie Zippy very close," unquote. Eric thought he saw a bear while out walking that morning and began filming with his cell phone. Quote, "I quickly realized it was not a bear, but a Sasquatch." Walter said Zippy could tell I was scared and got so riled up that he got loose and went after it. Walters called Zippy a brave little guy, saying he chased the Sasquatch away. Quote, "He saved me from a possible encounter. I love him more than ever." Walters initially shared his story with Asheville Citizen Time Thursday morning and says he knows people are skeptical. Quote, "I've read that people think I was a little overdramatic, but how would you react to a Sasquatch?" He wants to reiterate how amazing his dog Zippy was in the situation. Quote, "Yorkies are small in size, but bigger than even a Sasquatch in heart." Aw. You guys want to see the video?
Yes, please.
Yeah? Let's pause it. What did you think? Did you think that was real?
It is blurry, but that dog was seriously freaked out about something.
Yeah. And I mean, it was like, I can't say yay or nay. The dog was freaked out.
For sure. So it definitely wasn't something that the dog knew.
But it did look...
to expect or anything.
To me, it kind of looked like somebody in a costume.
A little bit.
Yeah. Just
like
a little bit.
Like one of those... What are they called? The ones where it's like the camouflage full body gear that usually looks like grass, but like it was painted brown.
I don't know what those are called, but I know they use them in like marshes and things like that a lot of times.
Yeah, that's kind of what it reminded me of.
Yeah, true. There's also, well, there's a conspiracy surrounding like Bigfoot and stuff like that in North Carolina, but that's going to be a different 100th episode or something. So we'll get to that.
A different 100th episode. This is the only 100th episode we're going to have.
We have 200.
Unless you plan on starting a different podcast.
Just a whole Bigfoot podcast. We could honestly do it. There is literally a guy in North Carolina that does a YouTube channel. And he goes out, like, people who have seen Bigfoot. It's like every week. People who have recently seen Bigfoot, he goes and investigates it and interviews them in North Carolina. It's insane.
No lack of material, obviously.
No. So for our next story, we have to go to the hotbed of North Carolina for Bigfoot sightings. Uharry? U-W-H-A-R-R-I-E? Uharry?
Maybe.
Uharry.
Uharry. Okay, so we're going to go to Uharry National Forest. Enthusiasts regularly meet at the local El Dorado outpost before venturing out to find Bigfoot. Former U.S. Army tank commander and fraud investigator Michael Green says that this was like never a personal passion for him. In the mid-2000s, Michael's view would change forever after some harrowing experiences. Michael was camped out at the 5,000-acre landscape by himself one night when something approached his tent. After a few moments of hearing the unmistakable sound of leaves rustling nearby, the thing came for him. Quote, 2 seconds later, it was right over my tent, he said, mimicking a deafening roar. Quote, and that wasn't nearly as loud as it scared the devil out of me, as you can imagine, unquote. 2 nights later, while camped out in the same forest with his friends, Michael caught a harrowing glimpse of the creature responsible, a lumbering, bipedal, ape-like beast in the distance. As a former military man, Green used his surroundings to calculate its size. I guessed from the measurements, comparing it with the trees, it was 7.5 feet or 8 feet tall. And striding with the ponderous arm swing, he said, biggest mistake of my life, really, not to start recording.
You don't say.
But determined to capture the creature on film, Green returned to the same woods week after week. He fitted his camper with cameras ranging from night vision to thermal equipment and waited patiently. It was in 2009 that his patience paid off, and a creature stealing one of his baited candy bars was captured by his thermal imaging camera.
What flavor was the candy bar?
They said what it is because he stops off at that that place, and he gets the same like candy bar as like bait for the creature.
I mean, inquiring minds want to know, so we know how to bait.
I didn't put it down because I didn't think it was important. I was like, ooh, that sounds gross to me. If I was Bigfoot, I'd be mad at you. But it was like a granola bar or something. I don't know. Anyways, here, let's watch this. Yeah, so Kelsey said it was weird that like it kept like swaying back from behind a tree back and forth. And I was like, yeah, but it reminds me of like the way like a gorilla will kind of like sway back and forth. Because it does look like the thermal outline of it looks more like a much bigger, much taller, like, gorilla than it would, like, a bear or anything like that. And the way it moves looks more like that to me, too. Thoughts? Prayers?
Yeah, I would agree. It was just very odd movements in general, but also it almost seemed like it knew there was a camera there sometimes, because it's almost like it was getting close, and then it just was like, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that.
Which kind of...
And then just, like, walked away.
It begs the question of like how aware are they if they're real, you know? Well, I mean, it's evaded good pictures of itself for years. Me too, bro.
Well, I wonder if that's because so many of the pictures are taken at like dusk, dawn, nighttime, I mean, that's going to affect even modern day cameras to some extent.
True. The cameras are getting
better. I think a lot of stuff is caught by like deer cameras, which are not excellent by any stretch of the means.
No.
Like no stretch of the imagination are you going to think you're going to get something good on a deer camera.
Yeah, I agree. But cameras are getting better. So go out and find Bigfoot, I guess. So he captured it on thermal imaging. We just watched that. Quote, "I don't care," said Green of Skeptics. "I know what I saw. I don't care if anyone thinks I'm crazy, but by God, I'm going to prove it one way or another. And well, I just hope I can prove I'm right before I die." Which I think he kind of did. But this guy, for like all of his credentials and like his background, he is very invested in this. There's a lot more that he has to say. But those were the major ones. Anyways, that was my portion of Bigfoot in North Carolina. And I've made it long enough. So, Samantha, your turn.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of information. The videos were a little bit creepy. The second one was creepy. The first one was just kind of like, oh, it's a cute dog. And then I realized there was supposed to be something else going on.
The first time I watched that first one that I sent you, it kind of freaked me out because I was like, oh, fuck, he's so close to you. And I'm like, oh, that's somebody like in a costume. It's got to be. It's got to be somebody in a costume.
That's a little suspicious.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know. Good job. That was a lot of information that I didn't have any idea of, honestly.
I like to shake it up.
I didn't realize it even started on the West Coast, but of course it did. So, are you ready to hear about Alabama? Well, one of Alabama's versions of Bigfoot.
I'm so ready. I've never been more ready for anything in my life because this is going to be good.
I mean, it's some pretty good stuff. I'm going to try to do it in the correct accent.
Oh, good luck. Channel my dad.
Depending on who you ask, I already have it in my voice, but I don't compared to some other people in the state.
You want to just hear like a voicemail of my dad to get you in the zone real quick?
Oh, yeah. I'd do it. Fortunately, I talk to a lot of people that are from the state, so that helps. So, yeah. So, Alabama's version of Bigfoot, at least one of them, is known as White Thang. Not Thang. 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 It's very important. You get it correct.
Mm.
You have to say it right and spell it correctly. Originally, I had planned on doing, because when I did my original research, because I've read about these things for a while and I wasn't allowed to talk about them until now. There's actually multiple versions in the state of Alabama, and I was going to cover more than one of them. But when I went through this one and then I had so many good first accounts, I was like, you know, Montana's going to take up a lot of time.
Hey, now.
With hers. So I'll just stick with this one. And then maybe this could be an annual thing. Like 1 year anniversary thing where we can cover a little bit more. So, because I do have at least two other ones from this state, and then I am sure there are plenty of other ones in the surrounding states and maybe in your home state.
Well, our 1 year's coming up.
Well,
our 2 years. We've been doing this way more than
it's been 2 years. Try again. But let me just tell you, there is a Facebook page that you can go to, and it has posts as recent as March 6th, last time I checked, about strange sightings and animals being eaten or taken. People asking, has anybody seen anything in this specific area, with lots of comments. It's actually a lot more active than I would have thought. And obviously there's an Alabama Bigfoot Society as well that has a website that people can post about sightings or strange occurrences attributed to the Bigfoot in Alabama.
Oh, yeah. So, Nobby has a Facebook page, too, by the way, if anybody wants to go look him up.
This isn't about you anymore. It's about me.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Anyway, sightings of the White Thang started around the 1930s, described as large, white, man-like creature. Some witnesses claimed it was bipedal and others claimed it walked on all fours. Those that saw it walk upright claimed the creature was at least 7 feet tall and has a long, skinny tail that ends in a ball of fur, kind of like a lion's tail.
What if it's just a cross between, like, Bigfoot and the lizard man of Skateboard Swamp.
Maybe. <huh? laughs> That was pretty, like, the descriptions that gave a lot of more information all pretty much confirmed the tail part of it, which was interesting to say the least, because I'd never heard of the tail part on Bigfoot. But all right.
Same.
We're special here in Alabama. Apparently, it likes to climb trees and scream at people.
Me too.
Some claim it sounds like a woman's scream. Others claim it sounds more like a panther scream. See a previous episode for that one, because we covered that noise in a previous episode.
Me in a costume in a tree screaming at people.
Hiding in a tree. So it likes to scream at the people, either sounding like a woman scream or a panther, as they walked by underneath the tree. From all I could find, there has never been a detailed description, like more detailed than that, of the creature. Most encounters are reported from North Alabama around Morgan, Etowah, or in Jefferson counties, with the reported sightings coming from Happy Hollow, Walnut Grove, Moody's Chapel, and Wheeler Wildlife Refuge. Most of them. There are other ones, and there were other Bigfoot sightings. This is specifically referring to the white thing.
But that makes more sense that it would be in that area, because that's getting towards the mountains. That's typically where you're gonna see a Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm. And also, it's white or light colored, so it would need to have foliage that it can hide in theory, because mm-hmm. woods ain't gonna cut it.
Nah.
According to Erie, Alabama by Alan Brown, quote, on July 15th, 2016, witnesses filmed a large man-like creature striding along a ridge in Woodnock Hollow in Clay County. The video of the snow-white figure has been posted on YouTube. I looked for it and could not find it, FYI. On the website werewolves.com, a man named Wayne Miller says that one summer night when he was a boy, he heard a loud noise in the yard. The old lady who lived next door grabbed her garden hoe and ran outside to confront whatever was causing that racket, despite the fact that her normally aggressive German Shepherd lay whimpering on the front porch. Tell me you're from Alabama, born and raised, without telling me you're from Alabama, born and raised. This lady, I don't care that my German Shepherd is scared. I'm going to grab my hoe and come at this thing.
I am from Alabama. I would not do that. I'm going to stay at my house and be like, cool, cool, cool. Dog, you get in here. I'm scared. We can be scared together.
The German Shepherd is whimpering and you're going to go, okay, sure. Also, the only thing that does confuse me is she doesn't have a gun.
Yeah, that is weird.
Woman
she
or
just
not,
have
you're
going
to have a gun. You're
she
in
had
Alabama.
A hoe or a rake in her house? Why
she
is
had,
in your house?
She grabbed her garden hoe, so she must have had it right by the door. Ready to use if need be. She charged down the path toward her garden, where the creature she recognized as the white thing was helping himself to her vegetables. See, maybe he is a vegetarian.
I think he is a vegetarian.
Second report. She scared the creature as much as it scared her, and it ran past her on all fours. Wayne says that he regrets having slept through all of the excitement.
Okay.
Unfortunate. In 2013, a woman living in Blount County, and it's Blount, not Blount. If you see it, you will think Blount. It is Blount.
It's Blount. It's spelled like Blount. It's not Blount. We've done this before.
You are telling us that you are from out of town if you say it that way. Had an even more terrifying encounter with the white thing. She and her family had just moved into an overgrown area north of Aniana. Again, if you saw this word, you would not know how to pronounce it. It's Aniana. And I know, because this is an area I'm from. A nearby creek made this an ideal habitat for a humanoid creature. On this particular day, at noon, she and her husband were cleaning up the front yard, and their son was walking around to the back of the house. Suddenly, he ran back to the front of the house, shouting that a white-haired monster was in the ditch. The boy said that he made eye contact with the creature before it slowly walked into the woods. After the frightened boy calmed down, he recalled that the beast's long white hair covered its eyes, concealing its facial features. He estimated that it stood around 9 feet tall. Let's take that with a grain of salt. This is a child. Everybody looks like they're 9 feet tall, but...
Same kid, same.
He estimated 9 feet. I was going to say also Montana, but you did it for me. So thank you. Now, a lot of my resources are from books because that's where I read most of this stuff. And I found other things to go along with it. So the second book that I read was Legends of Lore and Lore of Birmingham and Central Alabama by Beverly Crider. Here's another account of a sighting. Quote, old man George Norris seen it over there on Enon Graveyard. And he said it looked like a lion, you know, bushy, betwixt a dog and a lion. It was white and slick with long hair. It had a slick tail, down on the end of the tail, a big old bush of hair. He leant against a tree and fell asleep. When he awoke, the sun was just rising, and that white thing was laying right beside him, and it was looking at him, and he said it didn't offer to hurt him or nothing. End quote.
Sounds like he just wanted a bed buddy, my friend.
I mean, who wants to sleep alone?
Guess not white thing.
Apparently not. Hey, it didn't hurt him. So
are you sure this guy?
It's not hurt anybody yet. So I feel like he just wants a buddy and everybody keeps chasing him away and he doesn't understand why nobody likes him.
How many bush lights do you think this guy had?
Oh. Depends on what part of the day it was.
No. The bush light is too fancy for him. It's going to be natty light. You know that.
Oh, the natties. In yet another book, Alabama Lore by Will Elric, we find another rendition. Quote, when I was little, my neighbor, who was this little old lady, told me and my cousin about the creature that roams around when it's midnight. She said 20 years ago, two men were hunting and heard the screaming of either a woman or the loud crying of a baby, which is how this creature is supposed to sound. First of all, a woman crying or a baby crying loudly are two very different things, in my opinion, but neither here nor there.
Here and there, because like every recount of like this creature in that area, the misogyny runs
deep. It's screaming.
Like they keep calling women old ladies, and they're probably like our age. Let's be honest here. And then
you're probably not wrong. I am old.
It sounds like a baby or a woman. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Those do not sound alike.
No.
After being scared by the sounds, because obviously there's nothing scarier to a man than a woman screaming or a baby screaming.
I will say that if I'm in the woods and I hear a baby scream, panic, like terrifying.
Forget it.
I'm out. We're done.
I just find it funny that they're scared of the sounds and they describe it as either a woman crying or a baby crying. You take from that what you will. So after being scared by the sounds, the men saw the white thing, and when it noticed them, it took off after them running. The two hunters were scared and dropped their guns when they began to flee. Okay. They were unable to lose the beast and in desperation climbed a tree to escape. When the creature had them treed, it continued to circle the tree until the monster took off and ran into the woods. The hunters were so scared that they stayed in the tree until the morning light covered the forest. They are not the only ones to encounter the white thing either. My friend and his dad, who live up in the mountain, have said that they have heard the beast cry many times.
He's so sad. Also, the ones that were just like in the tree and he was circling, he probably just wanted like a bed buddy. It was late, or it was
like
early.
The last guy just laid down, and then I just slept right next. Like, what's the deal, guys?
It's like comfortable down here.
When a cat really wants attention and won't leave you alone. Yeah, it's exactly like a cat, and they treat you too.
Oh man!
All right, so another account from the same book. Quote: Nathan Thomas said he had been to Florida, and he was coming back home, and had been down there to see his brother. He caught a bus from Jasper to Nauvoo. He was walking out from Nauvoo. So I will tell you, this rendition is, they get really in the weeds about the location of this. So if you get lost, it's fine. I did too. I read it a couple of times. And unless you're from around the area, you wouldn't know. But they get into a lot of detail. So if you are from around the area, you probably know exactly where they're talking about. Just FYI. So he was walking out from Nauvoo, or no, it looks like Nauvoo, and they live down in Kaiser Bottoms. He was coming across the creek and up the hill just before you start down Kaiser Bottoms to their house, and he heard something, poop, 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 behind him. The sound effects are amazing. He looked back, and the white thing was coming after him, just laying down. He said he broke and ran and made it to get to the hickory tree and climbed it. He sat there until betwixt 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. That thing laid down by that tree and gnawed it. The moon was shining real bright, and sometime in the morning, it eventually got up and walked away. He could see it way down on the road. He said, buddy, I got down, and I mean, I run until I got to that house.
I'm telling you, it sounds like he just wants a cuddle buddy. Like, I don't understand.
Always by the tree.
These people are so mean to it.
Well, the one that's been perfectly fine and has been the closest to it for the longest amount of time was just asleep and woke up, and the thing was just, I mean, that happens all the time. I wake up and my cat's sleeping right up against me. I have no idea when she snuck onto the bed.
Every time I'm at your house, one of them tries to murder me while I'm asleep.
You say that. All they're doing is showing you love. They don't know that you're allergic.
Okay. Well, they do know that I need my face to breathe. So don't go to sleep on it.
Maybe. Another story from that same book was by an unnamed woman from Blount County. Quote, her son says the creature was in a ditch and that he and the thing caught each other's attention about the same time.
Oh, me too.
They made eye contact. I mean, it was a moment. You know, it was like 30 seconds of a moment. They made eye contact for a few moments, and he says they looked at each other eye to eye, but that it made no sound, nor did it make any threatening move toward him. It simply walked slowly off into the dense forest. As it walked away, he could then tell it was covered entirely with long, solid white hair. The long hair fell over its face, and he could make out no other features other than its eyes, which are frequently described as, like, bright red, by the way.
I thought that you were about to say that they met each other's eyes, and then he asked it, I know what you are, and he says, or I know how old you are, or how old are you? And 17. He says, 17. And she goes, how long have you been 17? A long time.
I gotta rewatch Twilight. Wrong movie. Wrong movie. No, you really don't. You sort of have it memorized. That's good enough. Some other brief accounts taken from the Alabama White Thing Facebook page. Quote, my girlfriend just saw this thing in Florence near Wildwood Park by an abandoned house that has collapsed in, and it fits the description perfectly. She saw it standing upright and ran away on all fours, but hopped like a deer.
What?
End quote.
No.
The descriptions just get crazier and crazier.
Okay, for
that was Mackie G in October of 2017.
For anybody who was wondering, that would be considered a category C, because it is a retelling of somebody else's firsthand account. So
you'll see a cut. There's several of those.
Yeah.
Quote, my true story, period. I was about 14 years old. We came home for vacation one summer. That first morning, I had to go to the bathroom. On my way back to bed, I heard something outside. Looking out the window, it was so foggy thick. And I had to say the so and draw it out because it wasn't the thing. But a few feet from the house, I saw the whitest critter just standing there. Red eyes. It was standing there like a kangaroo would. I saw the blackest claws. The more I stared at it, I could see the shape of it. I was frozen until my grandmother Norton said, what is it? I told her what was out there. Seeing this critter ruined my vacation. I was afraid to go outside. When I did, I was constantly looking over my shoulder. My grandmother told me another story about this thing that happened to my grandfather. All this happened in Courtland, Alabama. And that was Angie B, September 2017.
Angie B sounds...
It ruined her vacation.
How like rude. A hoot. She's a Leo.
Probably. This is about me and my ruined vacation, not about the critter that I am talking about right now.
Oh, yikes.
Yes, I saw one in 1985. There was no albino Bigfoot, or this was no albino Bigfoot because I was close enough to see light brown hair mixed in with the white. It seemed to be transitioning from white to brown. Nothing about what I saw that night made sense to me. I first thought I had walked up on a neighbor's cow that had gotten loose.
Ma'am, what? Or sir, what? Whichever one. What do you mean? What do you mean you thought it was a cow?
Well, there's a lot of cows in Alabama. I don't know if you know this, that have fur that transitions from white to brown and vice versa.
Are those cows?
I guess you've never seen that particular breed.
If I see a bipedal cow, I'm going to be more scared than if I see a Bigfoot. I'm going to tell you that right now.
That sounds terrible.
Could you imagine?
Brr.
So like the udders would be protruding out if it was bipedal. It'd be like smacking me in the face. I'm sorry, I had to butt in.
No wonder they said nothing about what I saw that night made sense to me.
Like, what kind of shrooms?
If I saw that, I wouldn't think so either. I would wonder what I had taken earlier that night.
Oh, shit.
Nope, it was not anything I was familiar with.
No, you don't say. Fair. Wait, are you familiar with a bipedal cow? I have more questions.
I've been around animals all my life, and I know what this thing wasn't. And it wasn't a cow that had gotten loose, apparently.
Okay.
Just FYI.
Cool.
And that was Regina A., October 2017.
Oh, that was it, Regina A.?
That was it.
Can you send me a picture of what cows you've seen? I have questions.
I have a lot of questions. Also, that was, she mentioned something that I had seen in a couple of other accounts. Some believe that the white thing is Bigfoot, but that it's able to like transition from white to brown fur. That's the other theory, why it's white compared to the other Bigfoot sightings.
Or maybe let's not be ageist towards the Bigfoot, because instead of it turning from white to brown, what if it's just getting white in its older age? Hello.
It's entirely possible. And it moved south from North Carolina. That was a bad call.
Yeah. Go back.
Let's not do that. All right. So in this one's a little bit more recent. Quote, I live outside Thomasville, Alabama, in a rural community. The church that my husband and I attend is roughly 2 miles from my house, and there are no houses around the church. There's a CME church maybe a quarter of a mile away, but the congregation there doesn't have service every Sunday. On Sunday, December 17th, 2023, we were on the way to the church and thought we saw someone walking toward the church. On this road, there's a curve, then a long, flat stretch that goes into a small hill. As we came through the flat area was what looked like a person walking towards the church. It was definitely bipedal and white. It never turned around and seemed to be crossing the road as it kept its forward momentum. It was topping the hill in front of the church. When we got to that spot where we had seen it, it was already gone. It looked like it had disappeared. Keep in mind that the area had been clear cut a few years ago and there isn't enough undergrowth or bushes or anything to hide in. My husband doesn't really believe in the paranormal, but he looked at me and said, "You did see that too, didn't you?" That's fair. I would probably do the same thing. Did we possibly just see the white thing? Has there ever been reports of the white thing in Clark County, Alabama? Sorry, this was a long post. And that was Judith B. And she posted that this past February.
It wasn't that long, Judy.
It really wasn't, compared to some other ones like the next one I'm about to do.
Oh, yikes.
This one's posted anonymously, though. So, and that's
probably for a reason.
That's fair. Posting anonymously because this entire situation made my husband feel like he was crazy. He don't like talking about it either. Growing up, my dad told me stories about Bigfoot on Miller's Holler. One story I remember was about a white one that ate a horse that belonged to his friend's family, leaving behind white hair that got caught in the fence.
Mm-mm.
I'd tell my husband these stories, and he would tell me I was crazy for believing that, and that my dad only told me those because I was a kid interested in Bigfoot.
We've already established that Bigfoot is a vegetarian. He didn't eat a horse.
At the bare minimum, he's an omnivore. But this is a first for a horse, from what I read.
Ew.
Never heard of a whole horse. Yeah. But, all right. Well, nearly 2 years ago, we lived out in Ohatchee, and on 6 Foot Road. I don't remember where I had gone, but I was off in town by myself while my husband push mowed. This is so Southern. Push mowed the grass outside. I came home and my husband looked shocked and terrified. I kept asking him what's wrong, and he would smile nervously and say, "You are going to think I'm crazy." But he ended up telling me anyway. He was mowing outside with his earbuds in and saw something moving in the woods behind our house out of the corner of his eye. We had a ton of deer constantly on our property. So his first thought was that maybe it was just a deer. But then he looked and saw a white, hairy face staring at him. So my husband is terrified at this point, having no clue what he just looked at. He acted like he didn't see anything and just kept mowing for a little longer. But he could see from the corner of his eye that it wasn't moving. He calmly stops mowing and walks off like he's going to go take a break. Grabs his gun, comes back outside, and shot a round off in the air. He said this giant white thing that he didn't even know was crouching in the first place stood up and took off running on 2 feet. I told him that he had just seen the Alabama white thing and he had never heard of it. The crazy part is I tried Googling pictures of it and he said none of them looked like what he saw. I'd pay top dollar to go back in time and stay home just so I could see it too. I'm pretty sure I've thought about this encounter way more than he has. I'm sure he's trying to forget it.
Oh, probably.
I've seen some crazy stuff in my life, but I've never gotten to experience it for myself. Needless to say, he finally believes there's definitely something hiding out here with us in Alabama. And that was posted this past December. Also, the way he responded is how I would too. Just keep doing what you're doing and pretend you didn't see anything. I'm going to go take a break, but I totally didn't see anything still.
Well, the white thing was probably like, oh, cool, we're taking a break. Why don't we take a nap?
Are you going to go buy a tree?
How about we look at this tree over here? Not really comfortable.
It looks really comfortable.
Yeah, let's go. You've been push mowing all day.
Got a pile of leaves we can lay down in. All right. So this one says repost. So apparently they had posted at some point in the past. So this is weird, but I still think about this every day. So I used to live nearby Donaldson Park. Only took about 15 to 20 minutes to get there. Well, I decided to jog the trails, walk them every day so I could get in shape. No. No. You're always the one that finds the dead body. Don't do that. Just saying. Well, one day I was walking with my dog and its buddy on the trail about maybe 5 minutes from the start of the trail. And I see this around 10 feet ahead of me. This is really hard to read because there's no punctuation. I didn't have my phone with me. I'm pretty sure that if I did, I was too in shock. The picture is exactly what I saw from a distance standing on its hind legs. So they posted like a AI generated almost picture of like a Bigfoot that's white. Basically. So I tried to get my dogs to see it so that they would chase it, but my dogs didn't pay any attention because they're sniffing everything and I was just standing there in shock. After it heard me, it turns its head and looks at me for a second, then runs fast to the left into a big field. I wasn't scared because this creature didn't harm me or scare me, but I was still shocked. So I tried to see if I could see where it went, but I couldn't get past all the limbs and branches to look. From then on, I never walked alone, fair, and I haven't walked that trail since, also fair. I told my friends and nobody believed me, but this is what I saw. Anyone else see something like this? Closest mythical creature to it is the white thing in Alabama. This happened a few years ago, maybe 2018 in Tennessee. Update 2023. I'm curious as to wonder where this creature came from. It just feels like a fever dream because it didn't attack me, but it was definitely a legendary creature. And that was Savannah in December of 2023.
I feel like the white thing is female or is just interested in men. Because anytime it has seen a woman, It has run away. I'm assuming Savannah is a woman.
That's actually
that
a good
can
point.
Be a man's name too. But if we're staying with, like, you know, your standard naming conventions for, you know, whatever. It sounds like
it seems as though.
Yeah. Sounds like it's interesting in napping with men and it's scared of women.
It does seem that way. I have another one with another one. This one was from a YouTube video that I'm not going to send you the YouTube videos because they're too long. But all right. I mean, they're like 5 to 10 minutes, but I'll link them in the show notes because there's some pictures where one of the videos, it actually was a pretty good picture and it makes me wonder if there was something there. The other one is a video of somebody like walking through the area that has known to have Bigfoot, but they don't really have any sightings, but they do interview somebody who has seen it.
Okay.
But this was a comment on one of the videos 4 years ago by @JerryG7391. My grandma saw the white thing in the 50s as she was getting the clothes in from the backyard from the clothesline. It was about 4.5 or 5 feet tall. So a lot shorter than what we've heard. Maybe it was young at that time. This was in the 50s.
Maybe it was a baby.
And it was covered. Yeah, I mean, it was young at the time. Very, very possible. It was covered head to toe with white fur. It just got dark when she was getting the clothes in from the clothesline. My grandma felt like she was being watched by something or someone. She got scared and ran into the house screaming to get my grandpa when she saw the creature looking at her. He grabbed his gun. I'm assuming he means his grandpa grabbed the gun, not the creature, but he didn't clarify your pronouns. He grabbed his gun to go outside to see what it was. And as he got outside where my grandma saw the creature, it was gone. She might have scared it as she started to scream, but my grandma did hear something walking around in the woods behind their house. But he didn't want to take a risk to go into the woods to see what it was, even with a gun in his hand. My grandmother, being a preacher's wife, she was never known to lie about anything in her life. There have been others who have seen it in that area, and I can't take anyone where she saw it to. Or I can take anyone where she saw it. To this day, there's people that will tell you that they have seen it or know people that have said they have seen the creature. People say it's still around here to this day, and it's a lot bigger than when my grandma saw it.
So it could have been a baby.
It was a baby.
Well, I guess they do have white hair when they're younger.
See? Maybe. It wasn't an assumption.
Maybe.
And the last one is from that BFRO.net. I had to do some digging to find one that had white fur that would match this description specifically, because pretty much all of them are specifically Bigfoot oriented, which is probably by definition. But this one is actually from the year of 1975 in Blount County.
Blount.
Location details, not Blount. I believe it is exit 287 off of I-65. I think at the time there was only an exit at that location in one direction. I saw the creature on a curve near the interstate, and I actually know where they're talking about. So it's between Coleman and Warrior near Blount Springs.
I was about to say, isn't that observed. Warrior?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like there's an area called Blount Springs that actually has a sulfur spring. That's actually close to where the road collapsed. And I did that episode on the road.
The
haunted road.
Yeah.
I was driving a VW bus, so I had a good view of my surroundings. As I rounded the first corner of the exit, I noticed what I thought was a big white dog, like an Afghan, running on all fours towards the road up an embankment. We both reached the same point at the same time, and I thought I would hit the dog. It seemed it didn't notice my car until it reached the side of the road when it was only feet away from the car. I don't remember slowing much. I wasn't going very fast to start with, as the curve was pretty tight. As the creature reached the road and I saw it, it stood up on its back legs. It was covered with white fur, maybe 8 inches long, but it wasn't thick, more stringy and dirty looking. And it had a round head, not a dog. I passed the creature and didn't catch it in my mirrors as it was dark. It scared me. I didn't get much detail of its face, but I did notice a fairly large mouth or lips, which were very prominent. The head was not huge and the body was pretty slender. It was probably as tall as the VW when it stood up, over 6 feet. So this is 75. So between the first one that we have talked about in the 50s and the one where we're talking, it was really tall, more recent. So
late.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah, slimmer body, stringier hair.
Teenager.
Teenager. Yeah. Young adult.
Young adult.
I was going to say, is it just me on like the day before I have hair washing day.
You're not that white. That's me.
Yeah, that's true.
There weren't any other witnesses. At the time, I had never heard of any creatures in the area, but it was very rural, and a friend who raised pigs used to hear screams in the area maybe 5 miles away. It was nighttime, maybe 9 to 10 p.m., and they saw the unknown creature in the car lights and nearly ran it over. And information-wise, environment, mixed forest, hardwood pine with some houses, but not many, and they were pretty far apart. That area is pretty sparsely populated even now, so
yeah,
there probably wouldn't have been a lot of witnesses. And the investigations, the follow-up investigation said, this is a very credible witness. He is a decorated veteran who earned top secret clearance in the military. I wonder if they confirmed that or if that's just what he said. But anyway, he has no doubt of what he saw, and it scared him badly. After an extensive interview with the witness, the following additions can be added to his report. The van's light stayed on the creature for an extended amount of time because of the left-hand curve on the road. The creature was loping uphill on all fours with an awkward gallop from right to left. When the creature reached the road's edge, it stood up and was humanoid, close to 7 feet tall. It had long arms and was only a few feet away from the witness. It was huge, with the upper body smaller in comparison to the huge hips and legs. So, I mean, I kind of feel like it sounds like a young adult. I kind of feel like these kind of make sense. Like it was young and then it grew up and now maybe it's getting a little bit older at this point and not moving so fast. That's why we're getting a little bit more sightings. Who knows? But yeah, that is all I would agree on the white thing.
Well, good
That's
job.
It. I won't make it any longer than it already is.
Yeah, we're already
kind of
close.
Y'all knew it was
going
to be a big episode.
Yeah, it was a big episode. It's going to be long. Kelsey's going to have so much work. I'm so
Love
sorry.
You.
Thank you. We appreciate you so much. So, so much.
All the things.
And happy 100 episodes. We did it, guys.
We did. Nobody's more surprised than us.
Truly. By episode 30, I thought I would be like out. But I guess what? You know what?
If we hadn't figured out the mic thing, that you're right, actually.
Actually, yeah, you're right. Anyway, well, happy Bigfoot hunting. And until next time, we love you. We mean it.
Okay, bye.
The Reaper will come.